I read an article this week that was super interesting that said per capita, South Carolina is the fastest growing state in the United States for 2 years in a row. And I was shocked by that. And some of you are transplants and you don't know how we roll in South Carolina. So I just thought it might be helpful to show up at church and get a little practical information along with some spiritual information. For example, if you're in the South, now that you're in the South, macaroni and cheese is a vegetable. And it's only in the South, right? If it's on a vegetable plate, if you go to a meat and three, it's listed as a vegetable, so it's actually healthy. So welcome to the South. Also, we've got some phrases a little bit weird. Like if somebody says, you're getting on my nerves, people don't say that up north or out west. You're getting on my nerves. I remember my grandma used to say, you're getting on my last nerve. And I was like, oh, how many do you have? And like, what? If I thought of this yesterday. If it's raining and the sun is shining, we like to say in the South that the devil is beating his wife. See, now if you're from up north, you're like, he has a wife? I don't know where it came from, but we just always say stuff like that in the South. Devil's beating his wife. And if you hear somebody say that, you go, oh yeah, I know. Learn that a second chance. And they're like, yeah, you probably did. That's probably what they'll say. The reason I want to bring that up is because we have some things we love to say in the South, and that goes for church and church culture as well. In fact, one of the things we love to tell people, and it's not wrong, it's just incomplete, is that Jesus is our Savior. Now, that is a true statement, but it's just not a complete statement. Because Jesus did die on the cross, and his death did pay for our sins. And so because he died on the cross to pay for our sins, when we accept him into our life, he is our Savior. And I've had people say, what does he save us from? Well, he does save us from hell, which is a real good thing, but he also saves us from I don't know if we follow him. He saves us from making stupid decisions. He saves us from a meaningless life. He saves us from a lot of pain and heartache and regret. He just saves us from those things, which leads to us today completing this sentence. That Jesus Christ did not just give his life on the cross so he could be our Savior. Jesus is our Savior and King. Now, we don't get the king thing because we don't live in a nation with a king, but kings in the day of Jesus, they had total and complete control and dominance. And anytime you're reading through the Gospels and you see the word Messiah essentially meant king. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross just so we could say a prayer and get a get out of hell free card. He died on the cross so he could be our Savior and our King, our ruler, our leader. And listen, even if you just recently accepted Christ, this is something that most Christ followers can agree on, that our biggest regret in life could have been avoided if we recognized him in this way. Yeah. That if we recognized Jesus as Savior and King, and we dedicated our life to following him, our biggest regret in life could have been avoided. None of us made that mistake that haunts us because we were following Jesus. It's because we weren't following Jesus. So with all that in mind, I'm gonna go to a passage in Exodus. And if you read this passage in Exodus, you more than likely skipped over it. And I don't say that as a slight. I skipped over this for years. But I want to read this passage in Exodus. It's not going to be your brand new favorite verse. It's not going to be your life verse. But it's going to get us somewhere. We're going to take a trip. And this is the beginning of the trip. Here we go. Exodus chapter 26, verse 31 says, "For inside of the tabernacle, make a special curtain." Pause. Most men in this room right now could not tell me which rooms in your house have curtains and don't have curtains. And if they do have curtains, you don't even know what color they are. And if you do, it's because your wife made you hang those curtains and you use so many cuss words doing it, right? And so, but we're going to talk about a curtain for a second. This is a special curtain of finely woven linen. Watch this. Decorate it with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and with skillfully embroidered cherubim. In other words, don't just throw it together. Get somebody with some skills to and get them in there to make this cherubim. And then hang this curtain on gold hooks attached to four posts of acacia wood. Overlay the posts with gold and set them in four silver bases. Hang the inner curtain from the clasp and put the Ark of the Covenant in the room behind it. This curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Now, nobody's reading that going, oh man, I feel like I've just been to church. That is amazing curtains. We need to get some curtains. Maybe God's telling us to go to Target and get some curtains, because he wouldn't tell you to go to Walmart. That's Satan. God's telling us to go to Target and get some curtains. But that's not what this is about. This curtain that's just described in the Bible, it's a big freaking curtain. It's, as we know from the measurements given later on, it's 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. Lots of sources say it would take somewhere between 250 to 300 people to hang this curtain. It's a big curtain. And it had a purpose, because if the curtain was hung here, on this side was the holy place, but behind the curtain was the Ark of Covenant, which was the most holy place. And in the tabernacle and eventually the temple, the high priest could only go behind the curtain once a year and sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant to make atonement for the sins of Israel. You think you have a high pressure job. The high priest had to go through all these rituals to get cleansed of all the sin, but just in case he forgot something, they would tie a rope around his leg in case God struck him dead while he's behind the curtain so they could pull him out. How do you feel if you're the high priest and they're tying the rope around your leg? I'm confessing stuff that I've never done. I'm confessing all y'all's sins. I mean, I'm confessing stuff I've read. And I mean, high pressure job, yes? So he goes behind, so this curtain separated basically us from God. Why is this so important? Well, because sin does the same thing. Sin does the thing. In fact, a couple of scriptures about this thing called sin. God said in Isaiah 59:2, it is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. And all of us have wrestled with sin. There's nobody in this room that's reading that verse going, yeah, I don't really know what that is. I'm perfect. I'm amazing. I'm the most amazing person I know. No, we all know. It's not just the sins that other people know about, it's the sins that we know about that other people don't know about. And then, this next verse. You may have gone to church your whole life, and you've never heard this verse explained the way I'm going to explain it. And I know why. It's really uncomfortable. In fact, let me just set the mood for how uncomfortable it's going to get. Husbands, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because this is a bit awkward. But have you ever been walking into the grocery store and your wife said, hey, pick me up some tampons? Some of you are like, where is he going with this? He did go to Jamaica. They smoke a lot of weed down there. Have I got everybody uncomfortable, or do I need to go further? Uncomfortable? Yes? Okay, good, 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 good. And some of you are like, why would you say something like that in church? Well, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, not our sin, when we display our right, that means you get up in the morning, you get your cup of coffee, read your Bible, you pray, you listen to some worship music. That's a great way to start the day, right? But God said that minus Jesus, the righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Now, I don't know a ton of Hebrew, but I know enough to know that's a bad translation. Because in the original Hebrew, and listen, if you're a church person and you're just here to see somebody get baptized, I can't believe he said it. We really do preach the whole Bible here, like the whole thing, even the uncomfortable parts. And the reason I say that is because if you interpret this correctly in the Hebrew, it says our righteous acts are nothing more than a used woman's menstrual cloth. Graphic enough for you? Yeah. In fact, this is what it would look like. I'm just kidding. We have no pictures. I do that from time to time just to make sure you're awake. Somebody just threw up in your mouth a little bit, and that's okay. Just swallow it back down. It'll be all right. We call that a burp, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Our righteous acts won't get us behind the curtain in the presence of God. And Paul says in Romans chapter 3, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And you say, what's God's glorious standard? Perfection. That's why I'm here to make the case that Jesus didn't die on the cross just to be our Savior. He died on the cross so he could be our Savior and our King, our Lord, our leader, our ruler, our Messiah. Not so we would just say his name, but we will follow him. And his ministry, the things he did when he was here on earth, is absolutely breathtaking. Nobody had ever seen a man like this man named Jesus, who showed compassion to people that other people weren't showing compassion to. You've heard the story in John chapter 8 where the woman was caught in the act of adultery and they bring her to Jesus and they're getting ready to stone her and they said, she was caught in the act of adultery. What should we do? And Jesus just kneels down and he writes in the dirt and they keep bugging him and they keep bugging him. And he said, let the one who's never sinned cast the first stone. And they all dropped their rocks and they walked away. And this woman who had been rejected for years and years and years finally got to look at the face of compassion, not condemnation. The reason I would tell you to give your life to Jesus is because he's waiting with compassion, not condemnation. This man named Jesus had the most incredible ministry. He only did ministry on earth for 3 years. No cell phones, no internet, no TV, no satellite system. And yet today, all over the world, his name is known because of the power of his ministry. Think about it with me, the last 24 hours of his life. When he gets together with the apostles and he does the Lord's Supper, communion. We call it the Lord's Supper today. And he takes the bread and he breaks it and he tells his guys, this is my body. And he pours the wine and he says, this is my blood. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And none of the disciples, none of them understood what was going on in the moment. They would understand it later, but they didn't understand in the moment, which should be comforting that sometimes when we're going through something, we might not understand it in the moment, but if we hang in there, the light comes later. And when we see it for what it is, it's absolutely beautiful. And Jesus sat there with his guys and they didn't know it was gonna be the Last Supper before he was crucified, but he knew, held it together. And they left and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, this, I think, was one of the most intense spiritual battles of his life. Because he prayed. Father, if there's another way to do this, please. But not my will, but your will be done. He was under so much stress that he experienced a medical condition called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis is when our body gets so stressed that we literally begin to sweat blood. I say that to let you know that Jesus went through that for us, but also to let you know that if you're overwhelmed with stress or anxiety, the best person to turn to is Jesus, because he'll meet you there because he's been there. And then Judas, one of his best friends, betrays him, and they show up in the garden to arrest him. Judas betrays him with a kiss. And the thing I think that was most heartbreaking about the arrest was that Jesus was abandoned by everybody close to him. There's many people in this room watching online, sitting in Columbia right now, and you've gone through a storm or a situation, and everybody you thought was close to you just abandoned you. And if you're not careful when you go through something like that, you can become bitter. Or you can turn to Jesus, who's been there and can tell you that there's light on the other side. When they arrested him, they brought him before Pilate. And Pilate was a politician. And politicians haven't changed. They just want to please people. And there's pressure on them to please people. Sometimes they would rather please people than do the right thing. So he's brought before Pilate. And on one side, you got Jesus. On the other side, they brought a man out named Barabbas. And Pilate says, which one should I let go? Should I let Jesus go or Barabbas? And they're all screaming, give us Barabbas. And Pilate says, what do I do with Jesus? And they all scream, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And he had done nothing wrong except claimed to be the Messiah, the King. Pilate ultimately did have him crucified. In fact, there's a passage in Scripture that says, wanting to please the crowd, Pilate said, crucify him. But it wasn't just crucifixion. It was the beating before the crucifixion that's always just shook me when I finally understood that Jesus was beaten with an instrument called a cat of nine tails, which was a handle with nine leather straps. And in these straps were interwoven bone and rock and glass. And so when it hit a person, it didn't just bounce off. It would rip the skin. And can you imagine Jesus, who spoke the world into existence, who spoke men and women into existence, that the people that he created were beating him? And he didn't do this because he had nothing else to do. Jesus suffered so that we would not have to. And it doesn't mean he takes all of our suffering away this side of eternity. It just means he can meet us in that suffering and walk us through. Well, after he's beaten 39 times, he's lost so much blood, they told him he needed to carry his cross. And man, he tried. He was strong. He was a carpenter before he entered ministry. But once you lose so much blood, you just can't carry it anymore. And eventually the Bible tells us they had to get a man named Simon or Simeon, depending on how you translate his name, to carry his cross for him. And took him to a place called Golgotha. And he was crucified. Crucifixion isn't pretty. It was horrifying. Then and even now, and he hung on the cross to pay for our sins so that we would not have to eternally pay for them ourselves. And one of the things that's so beautiful about this incredibly tragic story, do you remember the curtain? You remember the curtain? Matthew tells us in Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51, then Jesus shouted again. He's on the cross and he released his spirit. Watch this. And at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This curtain that it took 250 to 300 men to hang, it was torn in two. From what? Top to bottom. That's God saying, you don't come to me, I'll come to you. From top to bottom. And this is one of the reasons we love to celebrate baptism. It's a big deal. It's a big deal because when you see people standing in the water today, and as they go under, it represents that Jesus Christ has literally taken all their sins away. In fact, we're told in the Bible in Colossians 2:13, you were dead. Not you were bad, but you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And it goes on to say in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 4, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose from the grave. So here and in Columbia, you're going to see people get baptized today. They're going to be asked a question. Who is your Savior and Lord? And they're going to answer, Jesus Christ, or Jesus is my Savior and Lord. And then we're going to say, on your confession, and Jesus is your Savior and Lord, I baptize you, my brother. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to lower them down, which represents them dying to sin, all their sins being washed away. And when they come out of the water, it represents their brand new life. Just like it's a reminder that Jesus Christ on the cross died for our sin, was buried, but 3 days later, he came back to life so that you and I can have life. Not just eternal life, but abundant life, because Jesus is life. And I hope today, more than anything else in the world, before we do invitation, that you'll see Jesus so clearly, not just as Savior, but as our Savior King. So Jesus, as we get ready to do baptism, I pray for everyone in this campus and everyone in Columbia, God, that we would just be so open to whatever you wanted to do, whatever you want to do in us. Move our hearts and stir our hearts, Jesus. And may we, God, may we just know that you are in this place. And may you draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray together. Jesus, just to pause for a moment. Reflect on what you did for us. Maybe with heads bowed and eyes closed right now, you just need to say, thank you, Jesus, for giving your life so I can have life. And if you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Christ, you've never asked Jesus into your life, why would you say no to a man who gave his life for you? Why Why would you say no? Maybe you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Christ. But after what you just saw, after what you just experienced, you know that you know today, right now, today, you need to pray to receive Christ. And if that's you in this room or in Columbia or no matter where you are, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer from this stage, and I want you to say this prayer out loud. If you want to give your life to Christ, Savior and King. Yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to follow you. I want to give you everything. I want to surrender everything to you. Now I'm going to lead you in this prayer, and I want you to pray it back. I want you to repeat it back, but I want you to say it out loud because I want you to hear yourself say these words. And don't worry about feeling singled out, because everybody in our Second Chance family, both here in Anderson and Columbia, we're going to say this prayer out loud with you. So you'll know you're supported by every single person in this room. But if you know, this is your decision. If you know you need to accept Christ today, you need to be forgiven for your sins. You pray this with me. Second Chance family, let's make sure they don't pray it alone. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. My head still bowed, my eyes still closed, all over this room and in Columbia. If you just prayed and received Christ, if you just said yes to Jesus, if you just prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come into your life, do me a favor, all over this room and in Columbia, just put your hand straight up in the air and just leave it up for a second, because I want to celebrate with you. Just put them up, leave them up. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Thank you, sir. Put them up, leave them up. Put them up, leave them up. That is amazing. That is amazing. I'm looking around the room. I'm seeing first timers, and I'm seeing people that have been here for 3 or 4 years, and it's just so cool. It's just so cool. You can put your hands down. Father, I want to thank you for all the people that just said yes to you, that just said yes, Jesus. I pray that right now they would feel a sense of peace and a sense of urgency. All eyes up here on me. If you just pray to receive Christ, your next step is baptism. And you're in luck. You're in luck because we just happened to be baptizing today, both here and in Columbia. So in just a second, I'm going to ask you to move, but I'm going to ask some other people to move too, because there are people in this room and in Columbia. And listen, you know who you are. You have prayed to receive Christ, and since you have prayed to receive Christ, you have not followed through on baptism, and you've used every excuse in the book. It's not convenient. What will other people think? After what we just saw with what Jesus went through for us, what's your excuse today? For real. What's your freaking excuse? What's your excuse to look at Jesus and say, thank you for saving me. I'm not interested in going public for you. So if you know that baptism is your next step, whether you just pray to receive Christ or you've been showing up and you've been putting it off, step out of your aisle right now and get out that back door and let us get you a towel and a t-shirt and go right now. Go right now. Go right now. Go right now. Listen, listen, I don't want you to make excuses. I want you to make a difference, and you can't make a difference if you're sitting on the sidelines and not going public for Jesus. So if somebody needs to move, go right now. Church, let's cheer them on. Let's let them know that we want them to move. I don't want you. There are people moving. Let's go. In Columbia, if you need to go in Columbia, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We're getting ready to baptize, and at any point in this baptism service, if you know that baptism is your next step, you step out of the aisle and we will get you dunked, and we will get you, I'm gonna have to drive home wet. Jesus died on the cross. Really? Really? You're gonna drive home wet and talk about suffering? Please. Today is a day of celebration. So when people go under the water and they come back up, we don't golf clap, we clap. We cheer, we celebrate, because heaven is celebrating. With that in mind, Columbia, we're gonna pitch to Heidi. Heidi, you take over down there. And here in Anderson, Ryan and Lauren are gonna start on this side. And listen, don't sit down. you stand up for football games, and this is better than a football game, amen? So you guys take it away.
All right, we've got Brittany McKenzie over here. She has recently grown in her faith and understanding of what God's love truly means. Brittany knows that God has great plans for her life, and she wants to publicly commit to following Him and embracing all that He has in store for her. You guys cheer really loud for Brittany. All right, we're going to stick over here for a second. We've got Brianna Sizemore. She was saved in 2024. She wants to remind herself to seek God even when she is off track. You guys say a prayer for Brianna right now to do that. Okay, up next we have Alyssa Harrison. A friend invited her to Second Chance. She had been far from the church and God. She found the piece that was missing and wants to rededicate her life today. So she is getting baptized. Okay, up next we have Marcella Cagle. She has followed Pastor Perry for many years online. Y'all, let's get loud, because she flew in from Southern California today to get baptized. Okay, we've got Miss Amy Slack next. Amy never expected to find Jesus so powerfully at Second Chance. She's ready to take her next step and get baptized today. You guys give it up for Amy.
Roy Cagle. Roy came down from 10 Mile, Tennessee today to get baptized.
Miss Bird Galloway is up next. She is putting the Most High first and is changing her life around for the better. She just told me right now it's time.
Dave Magna. Dave decided to get baptized when he was younger, but decided today it is his decision.
Miss DeBrasia Bowman is up next, and she wants to take her next step with Jesus, so she is getting baptized today.
Over here we have Lonnie Stanley. Lonnie came in February to see his granddaughter get baptized and realized he wanted to take his next step.
Okay, this is Jennifer Hammond. Jennifer has always been a believer, but is ready to go public and be a follower. You guys give it up for Jennifer.
This is Misty Bright. She also came in February to see her daughter get baptized and realized that today was her day to take her next step.
This is Jennifer's husband, Eric. Eric is ready to commit his life to Jesus and is getting baptized.
She was also baptized as a child, but decided that today she would get baptized with her daughter.
We've got Miss Amanda Parks in the pool now. She serves on our welcome team. She said she felt the tugging last week but didn't sign up. She came to church this morning and couldn't ignore the tugging feeling anymore.
This is Carrie's daughter, Braylon. She considers SDC her home and excited to take her next step with Jesus.
Let's cheer for Miss Brooklyn. This is her first time getting baptized. She got saved recently at Second Chance. She says she is nervous but excited to get baptized today, and she is so glad that her family is here with her.
This cute little girl's name is Tobin, and she says that Jesus lives in her heart and is excited about her life with Jesus.
This is Miss Samantha Kelly. She was saved at Second Chance in May and wants to get baptized as her next step with Jesus. She wants to serve God by leading her family.
This is Jaden McCoy. He asked Jesus into his heart last week. His favorite thing about SCC is getting to see his friends and learning more about God.
Mr. Dallas Slade over here. His football coaches and grandma have been big influences on him getting saved. Samantha Kelly is his mom who just got baptized.
Up next we have Tyler McCoy. He asked Jesus into his heart around 5 months ago, and his favorite part of SCC is the worship.
This is Caitlin McCord. Caitlin is being baptized to declare her faith in Jesus. She is ready to put her life in his hands. You guys cheer for Caitlin.
This is Kaylee Day. Kaylee drove from Raleigh, North Carolina this morning. She accepted Jesus in her heart about a year ago and wants to make it public.
This is Amanda McCord. This is Caitlin's mom. She has had years of struggle with Jesus, started Second Chance in September, and decided that it is time to get real. She has been very inspired by Pastor P's story.
This is Matthew Roberts. He also drove here from Raleigh, North Carolina today. Matthew was raised Methodist, but wants to be submerged in baptism.
This is Mr. Jack Guthrie. He got saved 3 months ago and said that it is time to take his next step.
This is Marlene. Marlene lives in Cary, North Carolina and watches online. She decided that she does not want to be a question mark any longer. She wants to be the exclamation point.
Okay, you guys, cheer really loud for Celeste Reeder. She said that it is time to take her next step with Jesus, so she is getting baptized today.
This is Mark Lang. He also lives in Cary, North Carolina, and attends when they visit family here. Mark has never been baptized, and he decided today he's not making any more excuses.
All right, y'all, this is Michael Griffin. He was saved recently while at Second Chance. It was his first day when he got saved. He's glad to have his mom and dad in attendance today to celebrate his baptism.
This is Alan Baldwin. He was saved at Second Chance in February, and he is ready for a new journey.
She was saved in April and decided that today was her day to get baptized.
Y'all, let's celebrate Kit Sanders. Kit was baptized at 7, but decided today Jesus is his Lord and Savior.
Started coming sister. She said the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and she knew that her next step was getting baptized, so she is doing that today.
This is Veronica. Veronica is one of our welcome team members. She's been baptized before, but she's doing it today for all the right reasons.
Okay, we've got our first spontaneous over here. This is Mr. Michael Parks. He is on our welcome team, and he couldn't wait to get baptized today. Y'all cheer for Michael.
Ashley Cabral, she attended on Mother's Day and decided it's time to take her next step. Since Mother's Day, her favorite verse has been Ezra 10:4, rise up, take courage, and do it. Patrice Mark, she's been coming to Second Chance since September and has a new sense of God. She loves serving here and is ready to take her next step. Today is the day to get baptized. Today is the day to get baptized. Today. Dana Pearson, they decided today to take their next step together. Juliana, she decided today to take her next step, and Juliana is currently battling cancer. Spontaneous baptism today. Y'all get loud for Corey Bronner.
Y'all, we just saw 48 people go public. We didn't have that many signed up. That is amazing. Here's what I want you to keep in mind. That's an amazing number for a lot of churches for 10 years. And we just saw it at the 915. And it, I would be being disobedient if I didn't ask, are you sure you don't want to do this? Are you sure you're going to... If Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, are you sure you want to walk out that door today and tell him no? Are you sure? Because if today's your day, I don't want you to miss what the Lord has for you. So I'm going to keep it open. I'm not a high-pressure salesman. I'm just asking you, are you sure? Are you sure you want to tell him no when all he wants is what's best for us? Anybody else need to move? Anybody else need to get baptized today? Anybody else need to go public? Anybody? We got somebody moving? Over there? Okay.
Woo! Give it up for Bryce, you guys.
There we go.
Bryce is one of our student volunteers, and he must have just decided he had to do it today.
Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, let's pray. Jesus, I want to ask you right now, today, just to continue to move all throughout our services, all day today. Jesus, I want to thank you for what we just got to witness. People going public for you. And not being ashamed. And God, it's easy to do inside these walls, but God, may we be the same outside these walls, not ashamed of your name, not ashamed of who you are. And Jesus, thank you that you interrupted my prayer because we got another baptism. Hey, don't get mad. If you're getting mad because somebody else responded, give your life to Jesus and then get baptized, because this is awesome. This is why we do church right here.
Y'all, Bodie just ran in the room, so let's get loud as Bodie's getting baptized.
Interrupted my prayer. I'll take it every time. Anybody else? We got another one coming. We got another one. Listen, if you don't do it now, my prayer is going to mess up your day. For those veterans of Second Chance, you know what I'm about to pray. You know what I'm about to do. Tell them it's going to mess up their day. Just go ahead and tell them it's going to mess up your day. All right, let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for what you're allowing our church to see. God, may this not be normal. God, may we be moved by this. Maybe we be thankful for this. God, I want to ask you right now, Jesus, in your name, that if anybody's in this room and they know they should have responded and they didn't, Jesus, I'm asking you right now in your name, and somebody's going to agree with me and say amen, that the rest of their day would be miserable. God, that you would, everywhere they look, they would just be reminded of the cross and the resurrection and the forgiveness, and they would be reminded of baptism. God, I pray that this afternoon they can't stop thinking about it, and so they have to come back at 11 or they have to come back at 5. Either way, God, you would mess them up in such a good way that they would see Jesus today, that you not only need to be their Savior, but you need to be their King, and they need to go public with it. In Jesus' name, we're asking this. And those that agreed said, are you glad you came to church today? What a day. We'll see y'all back next Sunday.